Hello and welcome to Hurt Less, Live More, a show where we acknowledge all the hurts that we've experienced in life and we find ways to move on from that to live life to the full. And I'm JJ Stenhouse. I'm the practical alchemist. I'm here, as ever, with psychiatrist and coach Dr. Mark Goulston. And today, our guest is somebody who Mark knows very well, so I'll let him do a little bit more of the introductions here. But just to say that Myra Fordham was nominated for Young Australian of the Year. In fact, she was nominated for a load of awards last year, but we'll find out more about Myra as we go through the show. Mark, you can do more of an introduction.
Absolutely. It's so good to see Myra again. She was on my podcast, My Wake-Up Call, and she's woken up the world. She's woken up Australia to what she's about. Myra Fordham, she's a proud Mangyan Gurindji woman. She's founder of the Myra Fordham Coaching and the GOAT International Leadership Expert. She's a two-time international best-selling author, mentor, and grandmaster of fun. She's a superhero and global keynote speaker. She supports female entrepreneurs, coaches, and professional women to conquer self-doubt and unleash the leader within using the boss lady method. And Myra, what the show is about, a little of the background, is JJ and I got together, and much of the audience are young or youthful women, 25 to 50. And what we realize is a lot of people in the world feel hurt and fear, and they usually run from it into something that's destructive, into alcoholism, into food problems, into all kinds of destructive things. And we believe that when people can maybe survive the trauma, you have to survive it first, but the more that you can feel the hurt and then talk about it and express it, the more you have the chance to heal from it, as opposed to getting past it, but not getting over it. I'll share something with you that, JJ, that you haven't heard. I was recently speaking to someone who said that every time we go through a trauma and we do what we can to survive, we leave a part of ourselves back there because we're so busy surviving. And what happens is there's a cumulative buildup. Every time we have a trauma or an upset, we leave a part of ourselves behind because we're trying to survive. And that cumulative buildup of all that unfelt and unprocessed hurt can start to really tear us down from inside. We can lose vitality. We can lose optimism. It can affect our professional and personal relationships. So I just wanted to share that with you, Myra, and you can reflect on that or you can disagree with that, but welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about your hurt and your getting through it and your healing process.
Thank you, Mark, for the beautiful introduction. It's such an honor to be here at 2 a.m. in the morning with you guys.
Oh, you're so brave. It's so good of you to do this for
Boy,
us.
Boy, does that hurt. That hurts.
That does hurt, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, so I guess reflecting on what you said, Mark, I actually agree with you, and you're right. We all have to, I guess, have our own way of processing our hurts. And for me, it was about coming to a realization in the past when I was a child and getting older that I was just a product of my own environment. So I guess, as you may or may not know, Aboriginal people are faced with intergenerational trauma from Australia. And it's one of those things that I had to come to terms with and find a way to move forward before I became, you know, an international leadership expert. I didn't have all the tools or the resources to get me through. And I didn't know what it was like to heal. All I knew was there was ways of energetic healing and I guess connecting back to the country and the land here. But I didn't know that there was, you know, coaches or different modalities on how to heal myself. So I had to go on this journey of life on my own. And I guess we'll get further into my injury in a moment, but it was what I believe is the universe and God has a plan for all of us, you know. And as bad as it was at the time, I'm so grateful and I'm just loving life. I honestly am so happy and grateful that I had this experience in my life and this trauma, because it wouldn't have made me who I am today.
That's beautiful. It's lovely seeing you sitting there, beaming as you say that as well. You obviously have come through a lot. Just tell us a little bit about the trauma. You mentioned it just there, but just so that we can understand exactly what you've had to deal with.
Yeah, thank you, JJ. So I guess I've had all different types of trauma way back from the ages of one. So my mum and dad separated when I was one, and they used to argue all the time and say interesting names to each other. And so it started then. And then I had like daddy issues, you know, how I guess when you get older, you seek external validation and look for love in the wrong places. So I had that to start with. And then as I grew up, family around me was always fighting and drinking alcohol and yelling and screaming and physically fighting at times. And it was, I thought when I grew up in high school, it was normalized, like it was okay. And so that made me become an angry and aggressive teenager growing up, fighting in schools, in the schoolyard, and being a troublemaker. And then sometimes me having to defend myself because people would pick on me, because you probably can't see it, but I'm actually only 5'2" in height. So I was very a small young woman. And I guess going to the main event, which bring me here today, was that back in October 2016, I was actually assaulted by an ex-partner and I had a brain injury at the time and I had to undergo brain surgery, and then I had a traumatic brain injury, which was very, very severe. And what the police an ambulance said that it was very touch and go. So my life was not guaranteed. And it was a very, very great journey of self-discovery, although I had to learn how to walk and talk again. And it was interesting because before that, I lost my father to cancer. So 2016 was just an emotional roller coaster for me. And I had other things that were challenging as well, with the medically diagnosed PTSD, the anxiety and the suicidal thoughts and the depression, and then the low self-worth, and then living in a place of fear and anger, resentment, guilt, all of those things. So it was just one of those things that I did need to go through. And the way and the meaning that I give it nowadays is that I needed to go through that to show other women how to choose courage over fear. And he gave me my permission slip to success. And I needed to experience that pain to find my true calling and my purpose. And that was my awakening, which changed the trajectory of my life to fulfill a higher purpose.
Can you unpack that moment when, or moments when it was like a flipping of a switch from fear to courage, from pain to determination, and realizing that other people, other women go through this, and you know, this was what you needed to do with it?
Thank you for that great question, Mark. And so I guess I came to a point when I was just firing and wiring those negative emotions. And I guess it was a point where it was an addiction, but I didn't know that back then. And my friends would often say, "You're not this person. This is not who you really are." And it did trigger me at the time because I had a GoFundMe because I couldn't work. And they said, I'm not donating to your GoFundMe because you don't need this. This is not who you are. You're not a victim. And I was just so triggered. I was just in this odd place of just having anger and more resentment. And then I finally realized that's when the switch clicked and I was like, well, you are just a product of your own environment. So you're just playing out the pattern and you only know what you know, Myra. And that was the inner voice and the inner knowingness. And I had to keep going. I went through the public healthcare system with the counseling and the psychology. And to be honest, it only got me so far. And I wasn't fully conscious back then because it was just the beginning of my healing phase and my awakening. So later on, I finally started to hang around much more nicer people and people who wanted to see me thrive and support me and be loving and kind. And then that's when I came across a few people online, and especially my trainer that trained me with the coaching and the NLP and modalities like that. So then I realized all of these things. Then I had to start unpacking my trauma there with the timeline therapy. And then I had this realization, honestly, how did I come across this? And what it does for you is just incredible. It was like magic, honestly, and how the timeline therapy was able to reach into my subconscious mind and release those repressed emotions.
It's a very powerful technique. It's something I've trained in as well. And it's so simple, but very, very powerful. Yeah, it can really help you with that. That's a lot of stuff to get through in one life. So it's no wonder that you were nominated for Young Australian of the Year. I can see that very clearly now. But I'm curious, a lot of people who would go through this kind of trauma and these issues, they might not automatically think, well, I'm going to help other women with this. So what was it that made you focus on women? Because you are focusing on women right now as a coach. Why do that? Why not go broader?
Good question, JJ. Thank you for highlighting the fact of why I just work with women. So I guess the thing was that I am a woman for a start, the obvious reason. And secondly, I guess there was a time where other women would be reaching out to me about their trauma and their struggles. And I guess I can really relate to them on a really deep, deep, dark level where I have been. And I guess because vulnerability is my superpower. I'm happy to share most things, like openly and honestly and rawly. That's what I'm known for, is being very raw about my story with no filter. And the funny thing is that I don't just work with women. I've actually worked with somebody who's a transitioning transgender woman before, and I wasn't putting out that message there. They just came to me on LinkedIn, and I actually got my first male client in 2022, I believe, or 2021, and he's from New Jersey. So he reached out to me on Facebook. So I guess for me, it's more about who is committed and determined and wants to surrender to the process. And if someone was to reach out to me and ask for support, I would see first if we're the right fit before turning them away. And if they're not the right fit, then I'd happily refer them onto my network.
Well, I think that's a very good practice indeed. And Mark, we're coming up to our first break. So I want to come back after this break with more from Myra Fordham. But right now, we're just going to hear from our station sponsors. Back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station, with me, JJ, Dr. Mark Goulston, and our guest today, Myra Fordham. And Mark, you wanted to ask a question.
Yes, for our listeners, I would like to find out more about timeline therapy, since it's something that both of you have gone through and both of you have found helpful. So Myra, maybe you could go first. What exactly is it? How does it work? How did it help you? And then JJ, you know, having experienced yourself, would love to hear what you would add to that.
Thank you, Mark. And so earlier we mentioned timeline therapy. So I am actually a master practitioner of neurotransformation therapy, which is similar to neurolinguistic programming. And I'm also a timeline therapist as well. And so my understanding of timeline therapy, it's actually a modality that reaches into the subconscious mind and helps us to remove negative emotions, limiting beliefs, limiting decisions. And the way that it's performed is we just read out a specific script, the timeline therapy script, which then the person who's having the therapy done, they close their eyes, and then they just follow the guidance of the therapist. And then the therapist will take the person on a journey in their bubble or floating up high. And so it's where so the way that our timelines work is we have a timeline called a gestalt. So that means like different memories on our timeline. And the way that our timeline is actually displayed to us, it could be left to right, can be up to down, or it could be diagonal, front to back. And so every person stores their timeline differently. So what we want to do is find those events from a specific age, whether it can be from a past life, a past generation, or it could be from the ages of whenever you were born till now. It can be also in birth. It can be in the womb. And So then the person will choose an age, and the subconscious mind is amazing because it just brings up things that is needed a resolution for. So then we can heal the trauma on. And my experience, the first time I did it in 2020 in class, I floated up to the universe, like out into space, and it was just so magic, and I just felt so liberated and free once it was done. And I had so many tears and I was crying, but I knew that it worked. And because the way that we store trauma in our body or in our nervous system is like my understanding and the way I've stored trauma is either in the head, in the head, like where you get tension, you know, from headaches, in the chest, where you can get anger and anxiety, or in the belly or in the shoulders. So my shoulders were heavy beforehand, and then my shoulders were light. It was like I had most of my emotional baggage unpacked, and it was dropped off and threw in the trash. So that's how I felt. And it was just magical. And sometimes you see different colors, and it's just, everybody needs to do timeline therapy, honestly.
Oh, that was wonderful. JJ, can you share your experience with it?
Well, I go back a bit further than 2020. I learned timeline therapy from somebody called Tad James, who taught us as part of our NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming Master Practitioner certification. And he always made it very clear that what we were doing with timeline therapy was going back to first cause. So the idea is that you float back along your timeline, either above it or wherever, as Myra was saying. You go back to where the very first iteration of this trauma or issue occurred. And then at that point, you transform it. So you're rewriting history in a sense. So you transform that issue. You turn it around so that instead of feeling that tension or those hurts, you actually feel the love and gentleness. You neutralize it, and then you come back through your timeline, neutralizing every single time where that had become an issue in your life, until you get back to the present where you no longer feel that trigger or are triggered by that issue. And it's very, very simple, but it is very powerful, as many of these things are. And I had some body work done recently, or on Saturday, in fact, with somebody who does a technique called Emmett technique, which is, I'd never heard of before, didn't know anything about, but apparently an Australian guy, he created it, if you like. He's a sort of a mashup of acupressure and Bowen therapy and, you know, a couple of different things. Very subtle, but hugely, hugely powerful. And a lot of these things are, you don't need to be, you know, pulled apart or go through loads of real trauma to get to the issue. And I do like timeline therapy because it is, it's very gentle. Wouldn't you agree, Myra? It's very, very gentle and also very effective. And, in fact, I think when somebody did it with me, I was in Canada on a course, an advanced NLP course, language and behavior profiling course. We went to Niagara Falls on the Canadian side on our one day off in 2 weeks. It was a very intensive course. And there's a big tower by Niagara Falls in Canada. And I said, I'm not going to go up there. I've got a bit of a thing with heights. And the friend that I was with was also trained in timeline therapy, and she worked with me to get rid of that fear of heights. And it worked. Within 10 minutes, I was able to go up to the top of the tower, look out, lean over, no fear whatsoever. So it does work.
And for our listeners, can you talk more about what is NLP for our listeners who don't know what that is?
Neuro-linguistic programming is a methodology that was created by two men. One was a linguist and the other was a psychologist. And they realized that there was a connection between the words that we use and what happens psychologically within us and behaviorally within us as well. And so they developed this methodology whereby we can access and repair or deal with certain issues, psychological issues and behavioral issues. It sort of leans towards cognitive behavioral therapy. So there's an element of that in there. But basically, it came out of a mashup of language and how that reflects what's going on internally in a person. And so therefore how we can use language and how we can influence the brain, as in the neuro, to change the way a person reacts or a person behaves in certain circumstances. And it's been developed hugely since the beginnings, way back in California in whenever it was, when Michael Grind and Richard Bandler got together and started it off. And a lot of people were using it as in sales techniques to persuade people to buy things and to behave in a certain way. But it's become much more acknowledged as a therapy, and it's very effective.
Yeah, I remember something that they used to talk about is that we would process things either by visually, auditorially,
yeah,
or kinesthetically.
Yeah.
And I guess when it first came out and it was used in sales is, mm-hmm, if you can find out how the other person processes things,
yeah,
if there was a dominant sense, either visual, auditory, or kinesthetically, that you would talk using something that would go along with those. So,
yeah, and you do. So, you know, somebody who errs on the side of the kinesthetic language, and not everybody does everything all the time, and I am very much a kinesthetic speaker, I might talk about how I feel something's wrong, or I sense that you might be angry with me, Mark, or I sense that Myra might want to do something. It's all about the feeling state, whereas a visual person might be, I can see that you're angry with me, Mark. And an auditory person might say, I'm hearing some pretty angry vibes here. So, and I might say as a kinesthetic, I'm picking up some anger here. So it actually works. And I always tell the story of how some years ago I was working with somebody because there are another couple of not so common ways of speaking, olfactory and gustatory. And I was working with somebody and we did not really gel in terms of our communication style. He kept telling me that I was, you know, I wasn't strong enough because I was using all this kinesthetic language and I wasn't being very gung-ho masculine, you know, it was like, oh, I don't think, or I feel, or I sense, or, you know, that kind of language. And I couldn't work it out. And then I eventually did work out that he was an olfactory gustatory. So in other words, it was taste and smell with him. And I suddenly realized that he would say things like, oh, that's just a little Scooby snack for somebody like you. You can just gobble that up. You know, you'd be right on it. And I thought, that's why we never got on so well, because I should have been speaking the same way to him.
And Myra, how would you add to what JJ's saying about NLP?
Yeah, good question. Okay. So I guess my experience and how I would add to it is, I was just thinking as you guys, you know, shared your knowledge. For me, it actually cleared my PTSD away. Mm-hmm. It cleared it out of my subconscious mind. And I couldn't recommend anything better than NLP, to be honest, and the timeline therapy. I use it in my practice as well, and it just gets rid of anything, honestly. And people are just so amazed, and they're like, wow, that's magic. It's like their mind's actually blown by how effective it is. And I wish that everybody in the world was trained in NLP. It would help us to all be more conscious and of our decisions and what comes out of our mouth and our behaviors and things like that. So it's something that really has helped me with my own journey, and I've supported people actually who've had psychology qualifications. I've helped people with psychology. I've helped and supported two of my students who were counselors. So they just said to me, because they experienced family and domestic abuse as well, that they said that this NLP is just it's so strong, it's effective. And these two had complex PTSD and now they don't have it. So it just shows that how powerful this tool is. And I couldn't recommend it anymore. And for our audience, if you're ever interested in having a go, please reach out to me so then I can show you the powerful way of NLP and how it could really support you in your life to either set your goals, to get rid of your anxiety, negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, shame, grief, loss, and all the limiting beliefs like I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, nobody loves me. All of those things, they really, really shape you and I guess limit you from taking action and reaching your full potential in life.
So true. And it doesn't take long either. I think a lot of people are skeptical of NLP because a lot of the processes can bring results very quickly. But they do, it does work. They do bring the results and it does work. And Mark, we'll come back to you and your thoughts, because I know a lot of psychiatrists are skeptical of NLP as well. A lot of people who are in psychology and psychiatry have poo-pooed NLP over the years. But we'll come back to that afterwards. First of all, we'll take another short break right now and we'll be back right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, Dr. Mark Goulston, and our fabulous special guest today, Myra Fordham. And we were talking a lot about NLP before the break, Mark, and I was suggesting that some psychiatrists and psychologists are a bit skeptical about it.
No, I think that's true. I think there's a hopefully more and more psychiatrists, medical doctors are seeing the power and the validity of alternative treatments for health conditions, mental, emotional conditions. So hopefully they're learning to be more open to it. But as you say, I think old school psychiatrists or even psychologists or medical doctors, you know, I think what it is it's threatening because, you know, they have trouble getting out of their something I call their psychological silo. Yeah. This is where I'm competent. This is where I'm confident. This is where I feel in control. You're introducing something that I am not competent at all. And so I have zero confidence in that. And then you might say, well, why don't you become educated about it? Well, this is an unconscious process. No, I want to pull everything into what I'm competent, confident, and in control of. But hopefully the focus should be what's in the best interest of your client or your patient. But one of the things we talked about during the break is to come up with a specific for our listeners and have Myra and then JJ weigh in. So let's say our listeners or some of our listeners are saying, how do I deal with someone that I can't eliminate? I mean, they're in my family. They're in, it could be one of my children who's just, you know, just gets in their own way. They only see the negative. They only blame. They only do whatever. Or it could, maybe that would be a good thing because, you know, we love our children because, but often in spite of a lot of things. So yeah. That would be a good thing because I think many of our listeners are parents. So how would you weigh in on that, Myra, if someone said, you know, I have someone in my family and I don't know how to deal with them?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So the way that I see it and what's downloaded into me when I was listening to you and JJ chat about this is that the first thing that came to mind was actually blame equals pain. And for every person, and I'm pretty sure you may have heard about this, but when you point your finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing directly back at you. And so I would like to share a little bit about a famous Swiss psychiatrist called Carl Jung. And he was the one who found the shadow. So the shadow is the parts of you that you disown, that you judge, and that you reject about yourself. So when we're actually judging somebody, it's actually we're judging ourselves and that part about ourselves that we disown or we judge or reject about ourselves. So rather than projecting our stuff onto other people, we need to have a deep look at ourselves in the mirror and think, well, what is this? And so I actually had my client the other day, she was talking about narcissists. And I said, so you're saying so-and-so is a narcissist or you don't like narcissists. But I said, can I share something with you? And she's like, yeah, sure. And I said to her, this might trigger you, but what is the part of you that is triggering this narcissistic, I guess, belief or something behind that? Like, what is the part of you that is a narcissist? And then she had to reflect for 30 seconds or a minute. And then she said to me, it's the part of me that has to control everything. And I said, wow, that was a huge breakthrough in itself. And I said, the reason why I challenge you is A, because you know that I admittedly shared with you when we did our NLP master practitioner together that I admitted that I was a narcissist in my earlier days. And as Jordan Peterson says, that children grow up as narcissists. And they are because they don't know how to, I guess, ask for what they want. They just demand. So I was a narcissist and I knew that I wasn't no angel. And so I knew what it was like to be a narcissist and have those characteristics, not until I got older and then became a coach. So I hope that was really, really, I guess, fruitful for yourself and our listeners. And the last thing I wanted to share is that when we say things, how we communicate to ourselves becomes a suggestion to the subconscious mind. So anything that we think, say, or do, it eventually becomes a reality. So let's just face it. You could be at the shop or the grocery store one day and you think, oh, I don't want to see so-and-so. I really don't want to see them. And so what does the universe do? It puts that person in front of you. So then it triggers you. And there's always a learning behind why these things happen or occur. And when we say, I can't, we're actually, it's the truth for us. And so it's all about just being more conscious of our decisions, our reactions, our behaviors, and what we put out to the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. You've helped a lot of our listeners, and JJ was one of those listeners to you. So JJ, what are some of your thoughts and reflections on what marriage is?
Yeah, I loved what Myra was saying, and it was interesting that she used the word mirror there. And one of the processes that comes to mind is one that one of the major developers of NLP these days, Robert Diltz, developed some time ago, and he calls it the meta mirror. Now, the name doesn't really matter, but what it does is it has you standing in somebody else's shoes. So it's too long a process for me to describe here, but the essentials are that, say there's somebody, as we said, somebody that we can't stand, or somebody that, you know, we just don't really want to be in the same room as, or we can't even speak to, and we want to avoid that because we just can't deal with it. Well, then, as Myra is saying, you know, we look at that and we say, okay, so why don't you just, we do it physically as well by marking out four places physically in a room, and you stand in a different place. So you stand in place one as you, looking at the other person, and you put on their suit of clothes. You literally stand in their shoes and feel what it's like to be them. And then you take that on board, and then you move into place two, which is where they are standing. And you look at back at you, and you notice what they feel about you. Now, you might say, but you're not them, so you wouldn't know. But it's amazing what comes up in your mind. So, you know, you might find out that they think that you're really nice, but, you know, really annoying at times. And, you know, you can't help but get really short with them. And then, you know, that's an insight into why there might be this friction between the two of you. And then you go into a third place where you look back at that learning. And then a fourth place where you embrace that learning and embody that learning by drawing it into yourself. And you would be amazed how that completely transforms, or can transform, an interaction or your ongoing interactions with somebody who up until that point you've found to be really difficult and somebody that you would have wanted to avoid at all costs. Is really quite powerful.
That's interesting. You know, years ago, I was, one of my specialties was helping divorced couples get back together again. And they found me. I didn't market it, although I was in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Today Show, Oprah, Donahue. Because it was an interesting topic. And part of the approach we used was something very similar to what you're saying. It was called empathogenic therapy, mm-hmm. meaning you can't be empathic and angry at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because when you're empathic, it's sensory. You're sensing what they might be feeling, whereas anger is motor. You're venting at them, you're reacting. And so I remember one couple came in and I said, and often I would talk to the person who initiated it, and the other person didn't want to be there. And I would say to the person who initiated it, if I were to ask the other person why they think this is just going to be a waste of time and money, what would they say? Mm. And they could very easily say it. Well, they'd say it's going to be a waste of time and money because I'm just going to start yelling, and they could get that for free at home. You know, but what would happen is the other person would get engaged. Like, if you know that, why would you do it? You know, And then I remember one, a couple, I said, so the less engaged person was engaged with it. And then I remember with one couple, so I said, if I were to ask your spouse to remember an incident that was so horrendous and so destructive, that if anything similar to that could ever happen, there would be no chance. And without missing a beat, what the husband said, or the ex-husband said, is she had breast cancer and I had an affair with my secretary.
Wow.
And then what happened is she started sobbing because he'd always minimized it. Afterwards, he'd say, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she just started sobbing. And he looked at me and his face got contorted. And he said, what kind of an animal would do that to his wife? And what happened is she felt that he had just minimized it. Mm-hmm. But really what was happening in him is he felt such shame over doing it that he could never bring it up. So I just wanted to share that because there is a real power. And it is amazing how you can bring someone out. I remember a couple brought in their teenager, and the teenager's arms were crossed and his hat was down. He didn't want to be there. And I would say to the parents, if I were to ask your son there, your teenager, why he is so angry that you brought him here, what would he say? Mm. They were able to put it into words. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he'd say, we're just trying to control them, control him. We don't really care about anything other than he behave the way we want him to. And what happened is, you know, he tilts his head up because he's feeling empathized with. So I'm loving everything I'm learning from the two of you, and I just wanted to jump in with some of that stuff.
Oh no, that's great, Mark. It's great. I want to get back to Myra though and say, Myra, where can people find you online? I'm guessing, and you know, if somebody wants to work with you, how do you work with them? You're in Australia, but presumably you can work with people online.
Yeah. Thanks, JJ. Yeah, and Mark, very interesting. And thanks for sharing your past experiences with your clients. And so the best way for people to find me is actually on Instagram. So my Instagram name is Myra, MyraFordham _coaching. Or alternatively on LinkedIn. So I'm known as Myra Fordham. So I'm pretty certain that I'm probably the only Myra Fordham on there. And yes, JJ, I actually do work online. So the way that I work internationally is like how on Zoom. So Zoom is the best place where we would just connect, chat, and yeah, do some of that timeline therapy too. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, fantastic, because the great thing about that is you can do it on Zoom. Where would we be without Zoom? I mean, this wouldn't happen without Zoom, right? It's fantastic. So yeah, well, thank you so much, Myra. We've come to the end. Mark, I don't know if you have a last word for us all, but I've really enjoyed today. I think it's been great information coming out from you and Myra.
Yeah, all I would say is if you're listening in, this was like a mini masterclass. You know, I've learned so much, and I think I'm speaking to our listeners and JJ and I, and I think Myra, we all hope that you've learned a great deal and that you'll want to learn more, because I think it can really heal some of your hurt.
Absolutely. That's what we aspire to do anyway, help people heal some of their hurt. And on that note, we really are at the end of the show now. And do share this show. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, for instance, just like and, you know, and share with somebody who you feel needs to hear some of what we've been talking about today. You never know. It might really help them. Hopefully it will help you too. So for now, Do join us another time. We hope you will. But for now, it's goodbye from me, from Myra and Mark. Goodbye.